Hi, I'm Brandon. I love new Christmas in July movies.
Hey, it's Panda, and I like new Christmas in July movies.
I'm Dan, and I despise new Christmas in July movies.
Hi, it's Jax, and I love Christmas in July movies that actually take place in July.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark Podcast.
Wowie zowie, we all went with a full intro there.
Whoa.
Gosh, we have a special guest. We've not seen her since yesterday.
That's right.
It's Jax, everybody.
Man.
Jax texted me this morning with a screenshot of one person on Twitter saying, Jax, try to get on some podcast to talk about Campfire Christmas. And she just said, do what you will with this brand. And I said, well, do you want to come on the podcast? And she's like, I can't believe you asked.
Jax is here. This is why Brand doesn't give out his cell phone number is because if you text him and ask him to be on the podcast, he just says yes.
So I can know about it.
Who it is.
I was like, yeah, give the people what they want. To be fair, it was one person and I did DM them and say, can you tweet that?
Give the person what they want.
I actually made the Twitter account this morning. Tweeted it out.
Full cycle.
Hoping that someone would see it. But Jax, thanks for joining us. I know that your schedule is just jam-packed with all the other podcasts that you do. So.
Thank you for having me.
Speaking of podcasts, Bundle Buzz.
What?
Thank you guys for your review, by the way.
Thank you. I reviewed it.
Bundle Buzz. What are you talking about?
The Bundle Buzz.
Oh, my gosh, Dan.
You don't know about
it? What is it?
It's the new podcast Jax is on about the bundle
what
game.
What do they do
right?
on there? You know, of course, you could do some deductive reasoning. What do they do
Don't
there?
You play the bundle game on the podcast, Jax?
We do. It's launching in August. It's a limited run of only 10 episodes, so I'm not going to be doing it for the rest of my life like I'm going to be doing all the Hallmark podcasting with you guys forever. You're stuck with me forever.
Yeah.
Bundle Buzz is just 10 episodes, and we're
so
done.
You and Cass and who else play the bundle
game? It's the two of us, and we have guests every episode.
So
when are we guesting?
She already said limited 10. It's already filled up.
It's already it's 10, so
true?
We didn't get the call somehow. Jax is on our show every day.
If you guys want to do a crossover, I'm sure my sister would be over the moon because our entire family is like unabashedly obsessed with you guys.
Do you have 10 people lined up already? Is that why it's 10, a limited run of 10?
No, we have, we only have 6 guests secured so far. We've taped a couple, but there's still room if you guys want to slide on in.
Now we're giving her the third degree about like just not.
But why only 10? Why only 10?
Because I have to focus on, instead of professional podcasting, I have to focus on inviting myself onto professional podcasts
as an
amateur podcaster.
That's right.
Now, is this going to be Kaz's first pod?
It is going to be her first.
You guys
pod.
Have never podded together.
So exciting.
We've been interviewed a few times, okay. But we've never done our own thing.
Wow. Mm. So it's just you guys playing the bundle game, but for only 10 episodes.
Yeah. And it's specific to the people that we're playing with. So we do our little bundle blueprint where we get all the info about them. And then we make a game for them and play it live.
Wow.
Now, are the 6 live. Guests that you have coming on, are they like of note or are they just randos?
Family.
We have some comedians, some entrepreneurs. Okay. I would say of note is interesting. They're people with interesting stories that, you know, are compelling, which is why
they're
you guys
want to
come on.
Yeah. So we would fit right in.
Answer your question.
Of note is interesting is quite a line.
Yeah.
Of note is an interesting way to say that, Brand.
Yeah.
I would say it, but that is how one way you could say it.
That is one way you could.
I did write their names down, so technically did take a note. So there you go.
Great.
It sounds like we would fit right in. If you want us to come on, we'll love playing games.
I'm out.
Okay, so we would love to. So now you're committed, and you know if you're in, you're in.
Is there a pop-o-matic bubble?
What?
A pop-o-matic bubble? Can you pop a bubble? That's the
like
only
with
way.
The with
like
the die?
Trouble.
Like okay.
The pop-o-matic
and
bubble,
then, and then with the
trouble, it rhymes. Is okay. there a pop-o-matic bubble, Jax?
For you, Dan, yes.
Thank you, but my name is Rick
It's Rick Dilby.
Oh, I'm so sorry, you guys. Gosh. I can't keep up with the voices that you're doing. On the last episode,
I'm sorry. The voices that we're doing.
Wow. Man.
Oh, Jax.
The characters that you are inhabiting.
We have a full studio, full I can't believe this.
Like, Jack, it's just as clear as crystal.
That hurts.
You got a lot to learn around these parts, young lady. Speaking of a lot to learn around these parts, young lady, have we said that Jax is going to be, once Panda departs this earth,
once he sheds his earthly coil.
That's right. After Panda leaves us, Jax is going to be filling in on Thursdays for the When Calls the Heart episodes.
That's right.
And by filling in, I mean she will be replacing Panda.
Yeah.
Permanently.
Will, yeah, that's right. On the When Calls the Heart. You'll be in Hope Valley with us every Thursday. Jax.
I sure will. And that's the one that Panda's going to have serious FOMO about.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
For sure.
Panda claims he's going to keep watching the show.
That's an easy thing to say, knowing you'll never have to like prove
it. What if I do? I decide to come back and do a full summary review.
This is tough because Panda says a lot of things he doesn't do. But on the other side, he's a completionist. He doesn't like to not finish. Like, if there's a fifth sequel in a movie series, he's going to go, even if he hated the third and fourth.
Yep.
The Transformers movies. We by the fourth one, we were like, this is utter garbage. Did we line up and see the fifth one?
Absolutely.
You betcha we did.
Opening night.
Like, yes, Thursday night. Thursday night.
I will take as many beatings as possible because if it's a complete set, I've got to complete
the set. That's right. You got to complete, collect the whole set.
That
leads me to believe he may do it.
Like the Butler thing. I've never started a Butler thing. Yeah. I'm not going to start it now. Good heavens, stop it.
Yeah.
But I'm seven deep.
Seven deep. That's right.
I can't not go 8-9.
It's like we always say we're done with Marvel movies, and we're like, oh, the new Thor's
out. There's going to be more. So like you're setting yourself up for this. This show could potentially go on until the good Lord comes back.
I know.
And if the Hardys have their way, it will be that way.
Yeah, I see it.
So
they're all in for season 10. But it's like Marvel.
How many Marvels are there going
to
be?
Can we stop comparing Winklestar to Marvel for the love of God? It's like Marvel.
It's like Marvel. I don't know what
you... It's so similar to Marvel. Hope Valley and Marvel are the same. What do you want?
I am down to talk through who is who.
What if Jack comes back in a multiverse? That would be dope.
Yes. I love it.
And in one universe, Robert's not there, so they choose to stay in that universe.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, Robert.
Robert
can
kick rocks.
That's right.
You guys want to talk about Campfire Christmas?
I guess.
Campfire Christmas originally aired on July 16th, 2022, and it went a little something like this. We're at Camp Evergreen for Christmas in July, complete with a snow machine as you drive on in and fun things. It's July 2007, and all the campers are decorating for Christmas. The gang is all wondering where they're going to be in 15 years. That seems very specific. Cut to 15 years, and we meet Peyton, who works at a publishing company. She explains to her boss that she doesn't really do anything big for normal Christmas because her family goes all out for Christmas in July. Her parents do come into town for the holiday, though, and inform Peyton that they're going to retire and they're going to be done running Camp Evergreen, which means no more Christmas in July. Anyone and everyone who's ever participated at Camp Evergreen is invited for this big reunion. 6 months later, she's trying to get away from work for the reunion, but her boss is being a little dinker, isn't really interested in publishing her stuff, but does want her to work. But she says if you can pitch something real good, real to you, then maybe you have a chance to be published. So she goes to the family camp for Christmas in July, and the whole gang is back together. Almost everybody. Her ex, Tommy, couldn't make it until, he does show up. Didn't see it coming. They chat a little bit on the first night. He apologizes for how he ended things. We'll see. She's reading her old journals that she has and gets a flashback to her first kiss under the mistletoe, because Christmas camp. After a big brainstorm, Thomas and Peyton do some crafts to help fix things like the wreath for Capture the Wreath, and they update themselves on life, like Tommy losing his dad, and they end up getting in a glitter fight, because how else do you end that conversation about death? They have a big camp lighting ceremony where they light up the whole camp, not just one little silly tree. It's a whole camp light, and they it's all popping. Her parents show off some old pictures from Christmas in July of past years, and she comes up with a great idea for a book, Christmas in July at Camp Evergreen, the book. She starts to do some research on how the tradition got started, but not before she has some serious capture the wreath action. She keeps remembering all these different memories from camps of old, like, you know, Tommy and stuff. Thomas tries to apologize again for how things ended. She's still not having this conversation. That night, she remembers the first time that Tommy told her that he loves her while looking up at the stars, and they kissed. Back in current times, they go back to that same spot, look up at the same stars, technically not the same ones because of time, but then they kiss big ones again. The next day, she's like, oh man, I can't do this. I made a mistake. She has a career. I can't just not do that. Gonna go ahead and put this on the old back burner because they're gonna go pitch this book. She does pitch it. The boss loves the idea, but would really like to find another author to write it because, as she says multiple times, she's just too green. Too evergreen. Well, the campers put on a pretty fantastic play, complete with Corbin Blue and elf ears. After the show, he's talking to his buddies and is like, long distance doesn't work, so I'm going to find a place in Portland. Peyton hears some of that statement, namely the part where he says long distance doesn't work, namely not the part where he says I'm going to move closer to her. So now she's sad. Then her boss calls her and says, hey, I found the perfect writer for your book. And Peyton's like, if it's not me, I quit. What a day for Peyton. She tells Tommy that it was just a camp fling, no harm, no foul. And he's like, what? I already found a place on Zillow. She offers to take over the camp, but her parents are like, we're selling it to somebody who wants to make this place a destination Christmas tree farm, and we can't say no to that. She gets a call and is like, hey, her assistant calls and is like, hey, we should write this book. Let's do this thing together, basically. So I guess she's going to write it. Yay. She finds out the old tomboy does want to make it work and does want to move to Portland. And so she finds him and they kiss as the fireworks fire, because also July. Cut to 6 months later, she gives Thomas a copy of the book early, and he gives her a ring via proposal and says that he wants to spend every Christmas with her, and she says yes, and they kiss. And that, my friends, was Campfire Christmas.
We did it.
We did do it, everybody. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back as we talk more about Campfire Christmas on
Deck the Hallmark.
Guys, if I say plastic, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
I'm eating so much of it.
Well, those were all wild.
We're shoveling it down our gullets.
Yeah, I think you might be, because do you ever get overwhelmed by the number of plastic bottles and containers that you throw away? I know I do. Gosh. Sometimes I sit there and I go, nah, plastic.
It's a lot.
Well, if you answered yes like me, I want to introduce you to Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastics by reinventing home essentials that are good for you and the planet. They have an innovative tablet refill solution that takes up 10 times less space than a traditional bottle. Wow. And has powerful formulas to keep your home clean and smelling amazing. So you grab one of those suckers, refill it over and over again. You can do their clean essentials kit, and everything that you need to get started is in that. Blue Land products come in refreshing signature scents such as iris agave, fresh lemon, and eucalyptus mint. For a limited time, their hand soap's getting a summer upgrade for three new refreshing scents like strawberry rhubarb, citrus, and coconut palm. Boy, I like Blue Land. They're wonderful. I love good smelling stuff. I'll be honest, don't know the word in citrus patchouli, but I'm sure it's...
patchouli.
I'm sure it smells patchouli. Fantastic because everything else that Blue Land does. And right now you can get 15% off your order when you go to blueland.com/deck. That's 15% off your order to save the planet with Blue Land by going to blueland.com/deck. That's blueland.com/deck. We're back,
so
everybody.
You said citrus and then looked, froze, and went, no, I'm not reading
it. No.
What was it? Give me the letters.
I think Panda figured
patchouli?
It out.
It's patchouli.
But you also earlier said iris agave?
Yeah, that's accurate.
So like agave nectar from an like a,
iris,
like
iris
a flower. Flower.
Yeah.
Huh. Never heard of it.
That's well, a nice cross.
Iris
cross
agave.
Blend.
That's okay. Right.
Well,
iris agave sounds like the last Goo Goo Dolls hit. Am I right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Guys, let's talk about Campfire Christmas, and let's start with a hot take. Panda, I can already feel the fireplace crackling. I
feel the tabs being closed.
Panda, what do you think about this movie? Give us that hot take, baby.
Guys, listen, what I liked about this movie is a change of pace from the traditional Christmas movie. Mm-hmm. It is it takes place at a camp, which I thought was cool. It's not like Christmas camp that was, you know, the Bobby Campo classic.
Bobby Campo.
That Brandon said was the best movie he'd seen all year at that
correct
point.
Yes. It was a real
stand by
Christmas in July situation where he was that aged well too. So you know, and I really enjoyed the leads. I enjoyed a lot of the chemistry and dynamic. I liked the B characters in this. That was all well and good. So my only reservation with this movie, even though I think it was fun, I think overall I enjoyed it, was it took place in July. Like at the end of the day, it's a struggle for me to call this a Christmas movie. It's a Christmas adjacent movie. And listen, I'm here for it. I love that they tried something new.
That is a scalding take.
It's a ridiculous take.
I from you of all people, I cannot believe this is happening. But I'm here for it.
I
want to be clear, I'm here for it. But man, I didn't see it coming.
It's fine. And so for me, this movie is, you know, it was fun. It was good. But for me, did it give me all of the Christmassy feels? No, it didn't. The aesthetic wasn't there. That brings it home for me as much. And I think it's just a cold boy thing. It's a cold boy thing.
Look at Bran.
Jax, what do you think?
I'm going to push back directly on that. I don't want Christmas feels. I want Christmas in July feels. Okay. And this is the first time that a Christmas in July movie has actually taken place in July.
True.
So I'm here for it. I'm just teasing you, Panda.
No, it's okay.
I get what you're
back.
Saying.
You can push back. It's fine. I'm not hurt.
I grew up loving Salute Your Shorts, Camp Nowhere, Bug Juice. Does anyone remember that reality TV series that was on Disney Channel where it took place at an actual camp?
Yes.
I love nostalgia like Now and Then. So this movie pushed all of my buttons. I'm a theater kid. I love all of Anna White's movies. She's like one of my favorites. So yeah, this one for me, I was, you know, all across the board, chef's kiss, hard eyes. I was loving it. And I was so excited to talk about it that I begged to be on this podcast and paid someone to tweet that I should be.
You had to give the person what they want.
That's right. Yeah. The person that shout out.
The person.
I, as someone who grew up.
Brand is accepting the award for whatever it is. I
want to thank God
for the first time. I never thought in a million years that when I sat down to watch Campfire Christmas.
I just want to say, first of all, as somebody who grew up going to summer camp.
The mean streets of Titusville, Florida.
And loving Christmas. Like, I would have died for this camp, to be real. Like, the amount of money that I would have begged my parents to pay to go to this type of camp would have been hundreds of dollars because I didn't really know what money was. But I would have begged them, and it maybe would have worked out for me. I loved this camp. I love Christmas in July camp. I'm here for it. I love the idea of, you know, going as an adult and celebrating Christmas and seeing some old pals in camp. Man, I loved it. And I think that challenge accepted and accomplished. with trying to get Christmas feels at a summer camp in July. I don't know what else they could have possibly done to give you Christmas feels aside from having snow, which isn't going to happen because it's July. This movie threw up Christmas on screen. Aside from the snow, I've never been more offended on behalf of a generation than I am right now.
What generation?
My generation.
Your generation.
You're talking about.
I'm talking about my generation.
Okay.
I really, really enjoyed this movie a lot. I loved it, and give me a Christmas in July camp any day of the week.
So this movie does distinguish itself and sets itself apart as one of a kind on Hallmark. I don't think there's ever been another camp Christmas in July movie. I'm getting choked up when I talk about this. Something was stuck in
brother,
my throat.
You good?
I'm good. I breathed in. I knew there was no way out of it. There's nothing I could do.
It's not happening.
And I looked at you like, I don't know how you're going to help me, but I looked at you. It distinguishes itself as being the only like Christmas in July movie that is about Christmas in July and not about Christmas in Christmas time. It does not distinguish itself as a good movie, though, unfortunately. I'm with Panda on this. A water balloon fight in place of a snowball fight because it's July is a good idea unless you're telling me this is supposed to be a Christmas movie. I understand why people like this movie. It's the same reason they like talking about their time at summer camp when they were a kid or whenever. If those were very important, like fun moments for you, seminal moments in your life, then this is going to probably work, I guess. I had fun at summer camp. None of this really did it for me. I will say this, it does appear that everyone working on this film had a ball. Yeah. They all were having fun doing whatever it is they're doing. But it was kind of shoddily put together. It was almost like they knew it was the only Christmas in July movie that had ever been made. And so they could get away with murder. They could get away with whatever they wanted. And so they did. And so, you know, it didn't do much for me. I got to watch it with Bran, and that did something for me because he was having the time of his life. But personally, you know, I actually thought wildly enough that the Tori and Corbin's characters when they were like 17, 18, those two kids had a ton of chemistry. Mm-hmm. And it would have almost been
their hormones were a rage.
was summer camp, wasn't it?
It was almost like they weren't even acting, Jax. It was like they're really at summer camp. But like if that, it's almost like if the movie had like those two, every time those two were on screen, I was like, man, these two kids really love each other. Like they like are passionate about this whole thing. And it's not that Tori and Corbin didn't do a good job. It's just, I don't know. Like that's when the movie felt most like a movie to me. The rest of it felt like, what could we do to make this Christmas in July? And so it seemed more like a gimmick than a movie. And while everyone was having fun, it didn't work for me. So there you have it.
I want to go on the record and say, give me gimmicks all day long. I know that's going to come as a big surprise to everybody, I am myself quite the gimmick. Let's start with all the feels for Panda. What do you think about the feels in this one? Did you get anything in your cold, cold heart?
Yeah, I got a few things. Thank you, Brand, for being so unbiased, and I love that. And the host, that's great. A couple of things. First of all, I want to commend the location of this. It is beautiful. The camp is gorgeous.
He's commending the location, ladies and gentlemen.
Good job, location.
We've got one location commendation.
Yep.
One. Put it on the big board.
Put it up.
All the locations are watching with bated breath to see if they get commended by Panda.
It does.
It's attractive land, Panda.
It's attractive land. Thumbs up for that land. Thumbs up to God for making it. Big
thumbs up to the location scouts for finding it.
Good job. When they kiss on the dock, man, that is just, my goodness, that is camp feels for days. Loved it. They are adorable. I thought that was great. I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Jax?
I would say I had a lot of feels with the Beckett Chris storyline, and a line that really got me, and I think that if you grew up queer, if you are queer, you can really relate to this. When Jeffrey Boyer Chapman's character says, "I'm finally getting that camp moment you all got and I never had." Mm. And I think that a lot of queer people can like wish they had a time machine so they could go back in time and have all of these really pivotal coming of age moments that a lot of their peers get to have that they don't have. And this was sort of like this beautiful, like it was a time machine that they could go back and have that. So when he had that conversation with his BFF Peyton, I was getting all the feels. So I really liked it.
It's a shame that that storyline and the two leads like were great, and the other friend group storyline was like so boring.
Yeah, the one
it
about
was
the
like
kids was
it was
real
like
bad.
Oh, man, almost yeah. we got two really great storylines. Let's bring in a third
and those, the flashback
and the flashback like yeah.
But then that other every yeah. time they're that other group, the married couples on the screen, you're just like
yeah.
Oh, boy.
I agree. I thought the younger couples, every time they did the flashbacks, I got feels. But I also would love to know where I can get one of these sweet, sweet Camp Evergreen jerseys with the patch on it. I loved it. Thought it was awesome. I would buy them if
it was ironed on at TJ Maxx.
It was a
over there like, where can I buy it?
It was a fantastic patch. Camp Evergreen with a little nice tree and whatnot.
Buddy, I think you could probably actually could find that patch anywhere. They did not
probably
make that
made
special.
It, yeah.
No, they did make that special.
Okay, Chief.
They made that special. All
right, buddy.
You think they didn't make that special?
Yeah, I don't think they
did.
It made
was
that
pretty
special.
Basic.
You're basic.
Yeah, fair. More than fair. Where,
yeah.
Go ahead. Pan Dan.
I did love the... The most authentic line in the movie, I thought, was when Chris tells Beckett he had a crush on him, and like he says it and almost blurts it out, which I think is great. But my other feels for this movie, which is interesting that you brought up, like queer kids at camp that, you know, didn't have the same experience. This was the first time watching one of these movies that I didn't feel the inclusion to be historic. Like it just felt normal to me. Which was wonderful. Like, that's a great feels to have. But it didn't feel like, oh, they're bold here. They're going to include a gay couple. It was just like, it felt very much a natural, organic part of this. It didn't feel historic. It didn't feel like landmark. It just felt like it was there and a part of it. And I thought that was great. Like, I was really, really happy that was just a normal part of this. And in all honesty, kind of sort of steals some of the momentum from Tori and Corbin when it comes to the relationship side of things. But yeah, aside from that, not a whole lot going on for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's take one more quick break and we'll come back and we'll do the Wait, What's and the What the Hallmark here on Deck the Hallmark. Rig, how are you doing with Jax not knowing your name?
Well, it hurts. It hurts. And I'm trying to get over it as best I can. Drowning my sorrows with a few packs of menthols. And I'm doing my best. Yeah. And I'm gonna try to move past it. Forgive and forget. And see if I can mend this relationship. And then she just called me Rick. Which is
she called him Rick.
It's almost like she's doing it on purpose. And I don't know who that one person was that tweeted for her to come on the show. She's already on the show once a week. Contractually, I can't appear in the deck of Netflix. It's the one thing
that's
in my
true.
Contract that doesn't work
true.
Out. Now she's on here. I try to come in and help her out. Pop
she is
going to.
She
does nothing.
She is going to be at Bramble Fest. Are you going to? I know you got Boss Baby Fest, but
I'll do my best to come over and say hello. But there's no promises.
Okay. It's rigged.
She's going to be on Win Calls the Heart every week,
yeah.
You said.
Yeah, and you make a... Yeah, that's actually your busy week.
Yeah,
that's
you
your busy
always
day.
Ask me how I'm doing on that day.
Yeah, it's R-I-G-G.
Double G.
Rig.
Rig
Dilby.
Rhymes with rig.
Yeah, rig rhymes with rig. Yeah, rig. It's time for the Wait, What? It's the part of the show we talk about what in this movie made us go, Wait, What?
It does rhyme with rig.
Absolutely.
Okay, Rick over here. It's unbelievable.
Panda?
So this camp is baffling to me.
Oh, yeah.
I get that. Let me be clear, because I know that we'll get comments that sit there and go, no, everyone was invited back. That's fair. I get it. Everyone's invited back for this. But nevertheless, there is a preponderance of...
Fantastic.
A lack of, if you will.
There's a preponderance of a lack of?
A preponderance.
Of a lack of.
Or a lack of.
Preponderance is a lot of.
Yeah, a lot of. There's a lot of adults or a lack of children, whatever
you
want to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So either a lot of adults or not.
There is a ton of adults. There's not a lot of kids.
There's no kids.
There's hardly any kids.
There's a few.
I told Brandon, I was like, so this is just all the old, like the people that remember the camp.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them, union
but
some
this
of
is
them
what's
brought
confusing
their kids.
Is because they said this is our last year for yeah. this week, which would make you think that, okay, if they've been consistently getting campers throughout, like this would have the normal number of campers with some adults yeah. sprinkled in.
It would be that, campers 18 to 45.
Right, which is essentially what it amounts to. Now, with that said, the adults, I would feel as a parent who has sent my child to this camp this year that my kid has really missed out on the theater experience for this week. Why? Because the adults literally take over everything.
Yeah.
Everything I was for these poor teenagers.
I was under the impression that this was just an adults camp. Like this week was just an adults reunion.
I think it was. I think there were some kids.
There were some kids and teens.
But I,
those
here's
were the
what,
sons and daughters of the adults that were there. That was my.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it was. So I think it was just a reunion. I think it was just a reunion of like from back in the days. Of old. I don't know what the cutoff is because a
but
reunion
like,
implies
all people that went to the camp when they were kids. These are this
right.
Is, this was
but
not
a reunion.
The kids.
But what's the cutoff? Like a reunion technically is anyone who's ever been to the camp.
But yes. They also made it sound like this was just a normal week of camp, but they were adding extra people in. They didn't.
Oh,
didn't
no.
Seem
I,
like it
I
was
under the impression that they're doing one big last hurrah for all the people that went to camp when they were kids.
Okay.
So but a reunion also implies that, like, kids that
when,
came.
When they were 19, 18 could come when they were 19 for this if they went last
sure.
year. Yeah.
Or just but, kids.
Yeah.
It's a reunion.
But, like, everybody there is an adult.
Yeah, I know.
Like everyone, so like nobody there was a kid. There was no 12-year-olds running around there. Yeah. Everybody was an adult.
They had some teenagers. They did have some. They had some teenagers running around. They used to, even had a couple like younger kids running around, which you know
could be the kids of the people.
Fair
there.
Enough, and yeah. that's fair. Yeah. That's fine. I want to talk. The final thing I want to point out here is the wreath chasing game.
Yeah, that they call capture the wreath.
Capture the wreath.
Mm-mm.
I am confused.
Yeah, we all are
by the rules. Of this game. At one point in the flashback, she stops and she has a full conversation with Thomas, Peyton does. I was watching the kids behind them because obviously it's all centered on the wreath, right?
Yeah.
The wreath is the thing. Well, they would stop. They're having a full conversation, but the kids behind them are just running around in circles, tapping one another. But there's also a flag that you can grab.
Yeah, like flag football. Yeah.
I don't understand what's happening here.
And there are multiple wreaths.
And there's multiple wreaths. And they're stealing flags out of each other's pockets and running around. It doesn't make sense. It's either flag football and there should be one wreath, or it just
it
doesn't make sense.
It reminded me of like a very complicated Ultimate Frisbee game,
yes.
weirdly enough. And we do have our Ultimate Frisbee expert, Cody.
Hey, guys, cool as Frisbee. How's it going, guys?
Cody, now yeah. you were running Ultimate Frisbee games around the country from prison.
No doubt, baby.
And you had a few, you wanted to clarify two things for us.
Right.
And then give us a couple announcements of some games you got coming up.
Yeah, a couple
up.
Clarifications real quick. Lucky Charms are back in.
Okay, no. Clarifications about capture the wreath that they were playing.
I don't got nothing on that.
So that has nothing to do with this at all?
Right.
All right, you want to go ahead with your announcement?
Cotton candy grapes aren't grapes. Yeah, a couple of events real quick. Christmas in July at the Bronx Center in Los Angeles. It's happening July 25th, 2023. Plenty of time to get your out there. Gotta go, guys.
What's the format?
3-on-3, ho, 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 Santa's coming to town. Gotta go.
Okay. All right. Great. Great. Yeah. Glad we did
I
it.
I love
that
guy.
Cleared it right up. Yep.
Jax, anyway, what's for you?
Wait, so half the reason I was coming on here was so that my sports boys could help me no. with my big question.
This ain't sports, Jax.
You guys know my biggest thing. You know, in high school, I was only cheering for wrestling, and that was my biggest exposure to
That's
sports.
Right.
So I really thought that, that you guys would be able to help explain capture the wreath, football,
Pin
whatever
right.
was happening. But apparently, everyone's as confused as I am. What I thought was interesting is that I don't trust young women's journals. And yeah. I do think that there could have been a little bit of revisionary history going on
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
I know my journals are full of lies and my own like inflated sense of self and ego. So I guess I would want to know like was she kind of like lying in there? But yeah, thank you for trying. Thank you, Panda, for bringing it up and helping us work through this together. But I'm not any more clear on the rules or exactly what happened.
And I'm not, look, I'm on a Hallmark movie review podcast. I'm not trying to throw stones here, but I do think that this particular game was created by someone who was a theater kid that thinks about what sports might be like. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like, you know how they Quidditch in Harry Potter? What if wreaths and flags?
Because they also had like paintball bounce, like inflatables and stuff. Yes. Like you see like on a paintball course.
It's a mess out there, gang. Like there's no rhyme or reason to this.
It's
at all.
Combo Sheila of flag football, capture the flag, paintball.
Yeah, Ultimate Frisbee's in there,
Ultimate
too.
Frisbee.
Sheila mentioned that in their Facebook Live, Tori and Corbin admitted no one really knew what was going yes. on in that scene. Yeah. They okay, were great. Just having fun. Yeah. Great.
Good.
Okay, good.
It
good.
Was like, what if all the theater kids got the chance to be a part of the sports stuff?
Yeah.
It's basically what it was. And that's great.
It's my dream.
That's wonderful. But, I mean, if we could come up with some sort of consistent rules about this, yeah. it would be
you
wonderful.
You can't do it.
You got to capture the wreath, though. I know that much.
No, Dan, honestly, if we came up with some consistent rules, I would never win any sporting game. So this is a game that I would like yeah. to
that's
play.
Right. That's right.
Maybe you're like that. That's fair.
Did you win? Yes. Sure. Absolutely. Yes, I did.
Jax, do you have any more?
No.
Great. No, thank you.
Airtight.
I remember my journals growing up. They were something like, Dear God, I promise.
The prayer journal?
Of course.
Sheesh.
I promise.
Say, I must increase my bust. But yeah. I guess that was just me. And are you there, guys?
Probably
me, Margaret.
Mine, just you and not us.
Mine was more like, I promise to write in this every day. And then in 3 weeks, I say, God, I'm so sorry. And then, I'm so sorry, God.
All five pages were taken up in your journal.
Yeah. It was wild out there. I know that I grew up going to church camp, and there are certain, you know, limitations in that. And so my camp background is clouded with that. But the amount of time that these two children are alone at night, out in the open, from me as a church camp goer, seemed like a lot.
Dude, you could get alone with people at church camp.
No, we had a
You
strict,
could get alone with people
we,
at church
we had,
camp.
Not out in the open. That was a wood situation, baby. That was a having the Devos Panda, in the woods.
No girl ever wanted to be alone with yeah, that's so fair. It wasn't a problem.
That's fair.
But to be fair, I mean, in the 20s and 30s, the rules were a lot stricter on when you could...
Oh, boy.
You had to... You had
there was
to
the Spanish flu was going around.
Yeah. You had to be very careful.
I couldn't believe that there was a musical dance number. There was a musical dance number that didn't include Corbin Blue dancing at all.
Get your head in the game,
Hallmark. Get your head in Good the freaking game. So the two people, the married couple that we all didn't love, they're so like they're this whole thing, the whole movie is like, oh gosh, kids, what? We have jobs. And this guy's solution for how they can bring a child into the world is by hiring someone to handle their day to day so that they can have a baby. And my question is, have you never met a parent ever? You just freaking figure it out. You can't just hire someone to handle your entire life so that you can have a baby.
His only experience with how to parent is the Macaulay Culkin film Richie Rich.
Yeah.
I was just like, there's a butler that takes care of the kids. We either have to do that or we have to hire somebody to do the company and we can do the, we can't do both.
We can't
there's
do both. No way. Yeah. Yeah. We can't do both. We got to hire somebody to do the day to day.
Yeah.
The day to day. And at the very end, she hands them a mock up of the book and that mock up has a full barcode on the back of it. But that's neither
yeah,
here nor there.
Not a mock up. Yeah. I have no idea what the temperature is outside at Camp Evergreen, and it's driving me nuts. Based upon wardrobe, it could be anywhere from 40 to 90 degrees.
Yep.
There are people that are bundled up, flannels, sweaters, and there are people in shorts and a t-shirt. And I need some sort of consistency here. Like, how cold is it in July, and where is it? Where are they? The men in Tonka? Where are they? I don't know where they are. But it feels like everyone is in their own little temperature bubble in this movie. And it drives me nuts. Look, I know that there's a lot on our lead lead girl's plight. I know that. But for the love of everything good and decent, how does it take you half the movie to come up with a personal story that is writing about your parents and Christmas in July? Her editor, her boss is like, you just need to write stuff that's more personal to you. And she's just like, well, gosh, I don't have anything. Like, according to this movie, her mom is the founder of Christmas in July. They say that in this movie. Miriam Baker, the founder of Christmas in July. How did it take you half the movie to be like, you know what? I got it. I'll write about my parents founding Christmas in July. It takes way too long. But you know what? Give her a break. She is one of those assistants that has her own corner office with a window in New York City. So God bless you for that. At one point, there's a flashback, and they're all working on some sort of craft or something. And Corbin Blue's character, who the younger version of him, I don't remember the characters' names at all. The friend gets his hand stuck together with crazy glue, and he's like, "What is this?" And Corbin Blue's character says, "I just combined all of the strongest glues together."
Yep.
Why? Why did you do that? If they're all the strongest glues.
To make
glues,
mega glue.
I don't think that's how that works.
Yeah, I know.
All the strongest glues are already the strongest glues, right? Like, if you just spray in a big cauldron, still strong glue.
Nah, it's the all-star team.
It's the mega glue.
It's the all-star team
of glues. It's like Optimus Prime. Yeah. All the Transformers come together to make mega glue. It rips your fingers right off your skeleton.
Yeah, it does.
Why in the world did you combine all the glues? That's the dumbest thing. Even for a 17-year-old, that's stupid.
Well.
Why would you do that? Like, if you're 8, I could buy it. I'm like, you know what I was thinking, Dad? Mega glue. But like, you can drive, dude. You can drive a car. Combining all the glues together doesn't make this potion of glue.
Have we tried it?
Let me ask you a question. Is this a situation where the highest glue gets top and then it just gets like... They all come in like...
It's like, I've got Gorilla Glue, I've got Crazy Glue, I've got Super Glue.
You don't...
Is it 33% each?
Is it 33? Or does like the top glue, do they all become only
no,
as tough
he
as
says
the toughest
he combined...
Glue?
Yeah, exactly. They all... It does nothing at all. This
so
is
So you're
not,
saying there's no way to improve the
on the
top
strongest
glue?
No. Yeah. So you That's get the, why it's the strongest.
Yeah, but how did it become the strongest?
Because it's,
I think it's a PR campaign. Each glue thinks they're the strongest.
So I combined them all and I made the super duper strongest.
I'm just saying there might be something here.
Pause. Let me ask you a hypothetical, and this will tell me everything I need to know moving forward.
About you.
Imagine you take the strongest glues all together. You mix them all together, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Imagine
then,
like it happened.
And
in
then
the movie.
That's a real thing. You've created that. And then I make another batch, but then I make another batch of the world's strongest glue. But hear me out. I add one drop of Elmer's glue.
It wouldn't be as strong because Elmer's glue sucks, and we all know that.
Which one's stronger though?
But what if we combine those two glues? Wouldn't that be even the super duper duper strongest?
So Panda, I see. I do see what Panda's saying here, though, is because it's Elmer's glue. While it is the worst glue, it is still sticky.
But
and so it adds a drop of sticky.
If you add it to the strongest, is it now like ultra sticky plus
glue is glue?
Is it?
It's like being like, I got this Velcro and this Velcro and stacked them on top of each other.
But here's my thing, Dan.
Strongest Velcro.
But here's what happened. Gorilla Glue one day saw Super Glue and said, what if we were better? And so they figured out a thing. And so what if we said, you know what? Super Glue does have something and we can bring that to the table. Combine it with Gorilla Glue. You get Super Gorilla. Hoo, hoo, ha. And then
I
it's a whole other thing.
The same glue with different names.
Maybe,
okay,
maybe
gorilla
not.
Beats the Elmers. Elmers
beats the crazy. Crazy beats Gorilla. So 3-2-1.
Tie you die.
Right. Oh, man. I got one more, and this is a biggie. This is the big one. We talked about it when it happened. I did a full count because I knew it was coming. Even Brand knew it was coming. This is the ultimate classic trope in these movies that is the most unrealistic thing in the world. Now, Brand did point out that the other one was more unrealistic because they're just standing around the corner. I don't remember the movie it was from. But in this movie, Corbin Blue's character looks at his buddy and goes, yep, I thought about the relationship with her. Long distance didn't work then, and it won't work now. And then he doesn't say anything for 11 seconds. He stops for 11 full seconds and then says, so I'm going to buy an apartment in Portland. Like, what? He literally is like, long distance didn't work then and it doesn't work now.
I think the Wi-Fi was bad and he was waiting for it to load okay, so he could say it at just the right
time.
But
you know what? Even if you're getting your phone out and you're scrolling to find the apartment,
Jax, you'd be like, don't, Jax, I tried. Yeah, but, there's no budget on this
you would
guy.
Be like, even if you wanted to show him the apartment, you would be like, hey, long distance didn't work then. It's not going to work now. But
let me show you something.
Let me show you. You don't pause for 11 seconds just in case Tori is listening and that gives her time to make her quick escape to cry in the woods. You don't do that. Like, that's a really, that is a very unbelievable time for an 11-second pause, I would say. And as soon as he finished the line, I started counting out loud. But because I knew it was coming. I knew exactly what was happening here. Seen 400 of these. Here it comes. And so that was really, really bad. That's the last one I got.
It's time for what the Hallmark is part of the show. We wonder what could have been. Maybe happening to some clarity questions that we still have. Panda, what are you wondering about?
Oh, yeah, there's a discussion about turning the camp into a destination Christmas tree
yeah,
farm.
That's everybody's. What?
What is it?
I am at a loss. Because traditionally, and help me out here, when you go to a Christmas tree farm, you're not traveling super, super far because, you need to take it back. Now, that seems, if it's a destination implies this is going to take me a while to get there in some sense.
Yeah, and
right?
Also that it would be more than, like, we had something that just came to Greenville. It was actually easily called Christmas on the Farm here. And it was this really fun thing where you pick your tree out and then they chop it down for you and you go and the kids can roast marshmallows.
Yeah,
but it was open just after Thanksgiving for 4 days and you could maybe spend 3 hours there. Not a successful business model for a year long.
You know what? It's actually a pretty great idea to use a running camp as also a destination Christmas tree farm. Because you're probably not running much program during the cold months.
There has to be some sort of good, like, specific weather to grow these trees, though, right? Like you know, you'd have to have, you can't just show up and part-time grow Christmas trees. I mean, we worked with someone whose parents for 50 years ran a Christmas tree farm and it was a full-time gig and they finally just retired and sold it because it's a full-time job. You never stop working. And so you can't just be like, we'll do the blob and the zip line for the summer and then we'll get back to the Fraser firs. Like, I don't think you can do that. I don't think that's how that works. Yeah.
Wait, can I ask a follow-up? Because I don't understand, much like sports, I don't understand Christmas tree farms. You have to return the tree?
No. The Christmas tree farms are there so you can go and pick. So there's two extremes. One is, you know, the Home Depot parking lot Christmas tree for $30 that has six needles on it. And the other extreme is go out into the forest with your bare hands and your axe and chop down a tree. The Christmas tree farm lies somewhere in the middle of that spectrum where you go, the tree is still in the ground and you say, I want this one. And then the people working there chop it down, haul it up to the front. They give you a tag. You show up with your truck or whatever. They throw it in the back and you feel as though you've outdoorsed for the day. And so there are a lot of those in the, like, not in like big cities, but in out, like, you could find probably 3 or 4 Christmas tree farms within a day's drive of us to go and do this and spend your day.
In New York City, I just get it on my corner.
Yeah. So you go to the corner and get the tree. Right. Yeah. Different story altogether. Yeah.
I like the idea of returning the Christmas ground. Tree.
Yeah. Well, you should return it. You should let someone grind it for the good of the
environment. No. I would have them return it and then put it back up. You duct tree that sucker.
You duct tree it.
Duct tape it. You duct tape it right back up. You can reuse it.
That's exactly right. Jax, do you have a What the Hallmark?
I guess I just want to know more about Beckett and Chris's relationship status and, like, if they've started a podcast, have they got viral on TikTok? Like, what's going on with them? Are they collaborating artistically? I would watch a movie about the two of them. They've got to be. But New York, LA, are they bi-coastal? What's happening there?
That's true. We didn't get a lot of clarification there. I would just love to know if there is a summer camp out there that does a full-blown Christmas in July week that's also for adults. Reach out. Let's
just for adults.
Let's collab. Let's do something. Let's do something together.
Brand, couldn't you guys put one on?
I'm sure.
I'll help you.
I think we probably
I'll run
could.
A theater program.
Yeah.
And you guys could do the sports and all the other things.
Also, I would love to give a quick, apparently Corbin Blue was in the dance and I missed it, but I think that in and of itself is a problem.
Tell you everything you need to know.
He
should have gotten a solo.
Yeah.
A solo dance.
So I just need to know how much Tori makes as an assistant, like what her salary is, for a number of reasons. I think, one, that office and that apartment is both very impressive for someone who's an assistant. But also, her boss thinks so highly of her and is such a narcissistic monster that she is continually turning down her manuscripts, even though they're great, to keep her as an assistant. And what I don't understand is that if you're someone, if the boss in that situation is trying to make the best possible books, that's how she gets paid. It's not how efficiently her assistant works. It's how good of a book can I create? If these pitches are really great and she's just lying to her to keep her in that job.
Yeah, that's dirty.
It's dirty. I mean, there's so many questions about the hierarchy of how that runs that I would love to have answers to.
Yeah.
I keep looking over at you real quick, Dan, and for some reason, the way that your headphones are and also the way that they're like light is hitting them, it looks like drool is just coming down from you.
You know, it's been a tough day.
Which I love. It gives me a good chuckle every single time. And I think we can all agree that Tori Anderson's fantastic. And we'll
she was
her.
Wonderful.
She's I love great. It.
She was.
Yeah, and Corbin Blue's Corbin Blue. Gotta get your head in the game.
Get your head in the game.
Whoa. We're on this together.
Gosh, I can't wait. Jax, were you a big High School Musical fan?
Was I the star of every musical when I was in high school? Yes. Was there a small pool of people to pick from? Also, yes.
I love it.
Do I still brag about it to this day? Because my list of accomplishments in high school is pretty short. You betcha.
You betcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also wrestling cheerleading. So don't forget.
Pin 'em. Payne, it's time for the double decker of the week. It's where you do the deep dive into a double decker. Last week's was legendary. Let's see if we can follow that up. And by we, I mean, let's see what
the deep dive is.
Guys, listen, you're not making anything about it. No. I'm not making them up.
Is he going to double down on the elaborate pun department? Dawn Salyers. Salyers. Dawn's been around a while. Salyers? Yeah. I'm going to go with Salyers. Salyers.
What do you think? What do you know?
Dawn's. Two thumbs up.
Two okay. thumbs up for Dawn.
Great.
Yeah. And let me go ahead and say this. Dawn is always looking out for the little kids. She's always watching out for them, making sure that the kids all have a good time.
What kids?
Just kids in general.
Okay, sure. She's always making sure kids are having a good time. That's great.
So at the beach, she sells microwaves.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
That's weird.
Why is that weird?
It's just a weird
thing. It's almost, it almost is too perfect.
I don't know. It just seems like something's going to happen with it. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, that seems ridiculous.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's called microwaves.
Yeah.
So there's a little section for kids where they could go on in, and she just makes microwaves for them so that they can enjoy all the water.
And so so what she does is she sells them.
Oh, no. She makes little waves.
But she said she sells them.
Yeah, she sells.
So you can't go in for free and get little waves to hit your child. You have to pay extra money on the ocean?
Yes.
For little waves?
Yes.
Dawn, you monster.
How is that a monster,
you're
Dan?
Trying
you
to
want
make
kids to be taken out by a typhoon, you monster?
Typhoon? A typhoon. Wow. We're just trying to get kids to have fun at the ocean and not pay a dime.
So
all
you're
I'm
saying if
to.
There's a typhoon mm-hmm. coming, like the microwaves are still fine?
She could do it.
How much per wave, Panda?
It's 25 cents per microwave. There's a lot that goes into it, though.
Yes.
What goes into it?
She has to go on out there, and then she's doing the little push of the
waves. She has to get the water separated, right? She can't possibly get in the ocean around the big waves, because if you bring a kid out and give them little waves, the big waves are still going to hit them.
She has it fenced off.
So she fences off the ocean.
With little buoys. How do you say it?
Not with little boys. I'll tell you that much.
It surely doesn't do with little boys.
It's not with other little children. Other little children are taking the brunt of the waves, so she can make a buck.
Buoys?
Buoys.
Is it buoys?
But yeah. The buoys take the waves.
What are you talking about?
What I Googled was, and it just says little boys. Like, I don't know. Like, the kids are just taking them. Now that I'm reading about this, Dawn, it's not.
Yeah, she is a monster.
Little kids are just getting pummeled out there, Dawn.
Wham! Another one.
Sad.
Yeah.
I was all excited. Me and Lily had signed up. I was spending thousands of waves.
Well, she's in the clear, though, because she's a little girl. So she would just
get the microwaves.
No problems.
Yeah. But I feel bad about
the little boys. Yeah, sure.
Little boys.
It's almost, that's a child labor situation.
See, it would seem that way.
It would seem that way.
I'm Googling it right now, guys, and it's not, it's just coming up error. I don't know what to do.
We did, everybody. Congratulations. We're going to be back tomorrow with a throwback. To 2019, when the three of us went out to California. We reviewed a movie called The Night Before Christmas in front of a crowd. We released that to a thing called Patreon way back in the day, and we're digging it up out of the archives because the world has never heard about it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's time.
And that
was
Vanessa Hudgens before pre-Princess Switch.
I think once something has been an exclusive for 3 years, it's fair game. I think it's no longer has to be. So if you've never heard that, it's going to be a really fun time, and you'll get a feel for what you're missing out on over there on the Bramble Jam Plus.
That's right.
Lots to look forward to there. And then we'll be back Thursday, the three of us, with Wind Calls to Heart. Until then, maybe we're the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
That Sounds Fun podcast. It's produced by Tracy Nillis' name. It's recorded live in Greenville, South Carolina. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.